All right, we're live here at Zillow Academy. Today I'm doing the Top Producer Series, and I have a very special guest. Without any further ado, I want to introduce Ross Baxter. Ross, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks very much. Glad to be here.
I'm really excited to have you. I got lots of questions. I was intrigued when I knew you were going to be on Discovering America. And then when I saw where you're at, and I looked at some of the photos and like here on your blog, wow, what is it like to sell real estate in one of the greatest locations on the planet, Alaska? Can you just take a second and tell everybody who you are, what you do, and how you ended up in Alaska to sell real estate?
Well, thanks. Well, good morning, everyone. To just summarize, you know, what it's like, I guess this is a typical day in the winter. It's 1 degree. Whenever it's really cold, it's crystal clear. I'm sitting in a location looking at, from my home office, looking at the Kenai Mountain Range, which is absolutely silhouetted in the background. Sun doesn't come up for about another half hour, so we'll have sunrise in about, you know, around 9:30. And it's just absolutely gorgeous to work in a place that when I leave my home office, I have an in-town office, and I'll probably see moose on the way into work. I'll see eagles. That's a daily occurrence. Every once in a while, you'll see other wildlife like bears and or caribou. I had actual two bull caribou walk down my driveway last year. It was really a surprise. And, you know, as far as selling real estate here, it has its challenges. I'm in a very small town. The entire population of the Kenai Peninsula, which spans over 150 miles, is about 65,000 residents. So it's a very small market, but to be a top producer in this area, you really have to be responsive and be in tune with why people are going to call and what they're looking for. And then other than that, I just say that there are some challenges when you take a client out on a home tour. You know, when it's really cold, you have to be aware that time from car to house, front door, is house heated, are lights on? You know, these are real issues that, you know, I'm concerned about when I take my people out. So anyway, I got to Alaska because family moved up here. I have three older brothers and a sister. They all moved from the San Francisco Bay Area since 1983. I had visited, lived in Seattle and lived in Atlanta for a number of years, and then always visited over the years. And when I did, I always hated to leave. It's such a beautiful state, the Kenai River, where world-class fishing exists for anglers that come from all over the world, run right through our town. And anyway, it's just a really beautiful place, and I was kind of done with the traffic of Atlanta. And beyond that, my wife and I were married in 97 on the deck of the Kenai Princess Lodge in Cooper Landing, a really pretty place, and yet we didn't move here till 2002. And my only regret was not doing it sooner. So anyway, that's a bit of my story, and I'm here to answer any other questions.
You know, you've got some really gorgeous properties up there, you know, ranging from the $600,000 up to, I'm looking one here for $2.9 million. And then I popped over to your Zillow profile, and I noticed you've got right now 30 listings in the hopper. You know, we had a conversation earlier, and I wanted to share this with our listeners because I think this is important. While a lot of agents are trying to find the SEO, you know, the search engine optimization with blogging and whatnot, how's this working for you? I've kind of heard a little bit of your story, but I know we did a Google search prior to this call, and not a lot came up, and then you said something that just really fascinated me about Zillow and Facebook. And can you share that?
Well, sure. You know, I've been doing this, about almost 10 years now. And over the years, I've tried so many things that I, quote, have thrown money at, and they've not worked. They've been disappointments. And you know, the next every week there's someone calling with a new opportunity. Hey, guess what? If you use this or use that, we guarantee, and you only have to do X, and gosh, the money's just gonna flow all over you. And what I found is that of all the things that I've tried, not because I'm just on this Zillow webinar, but Zillow has been really terrific to use. I am so glad that I said yes to Elizabeth Arnold was my my salesperson, and you know, she was down to earth and walked me through what was really available. I kind of put it in my mind, I'll try it, see how it goes, and compare that to other forms of marketing that I've done. And frankly, the return is more than paid for itself, which is my litmus test of whether I continue with something or not. Beyond Zillow, where I'm getting, you know, a variety of leads, some better than others, it's true, but the fact is people are calling me. And, you know, marketing is really the opportunity to move forward, to earn the attention and trust, you know, that a client might have, and hopefully get them curious enough and start a conversation. And then from there, it would be my ability to close the sale if something's, you know, genuine and something tangible I could work with. Beyond Zillow, Facebook, I'm very reluctant initially, still am, only because of time restraints to actively work on Facebook. It's a time commitment. It's also a little vulnerable, you know, starting to share a good bit about your life. And yet, I've gone to a number of educational seminars and classes with CRS training and other educational opportunities within our industry. And what I'm learning is that it really doesn't matter how secretive you feel you want to be. If somebody wants to learn something about you, they will. And you're all over, so you might as well control it. And that's what I'm doing more of now. It's kind of part of my 2013 business plan, is to spend even more time in social media. And the returns are good. You know, again, you want to go ahead and compare your time for return, and that time is paying off. Beyond that, just doing a good job is a big part of it. So anyway, that's two of the things that I'm doing. Outside of that, we have a local real estate guide, and people still like tangibility in our little town, and we have a lot of tourists that come through, seasonal people, and locals that want to see what's going on with the real estate industry. So they pick up the real estate guide, which is pretty thin in our area, probably about an eighth inch thick. And, you know, so I have a full page color ad. And so every month there's, you know, a little bit of change there, but it's that constant being in front of a target audience, letting them know that, you know, you do this full time. That's really important. And there's a few other guerrilla marketing things that I do that I think are fun, and we could talk about that more should you have interest.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of interest. One of the questions I always ask is, how many of these contacts, on average, do you think you get if you're tracking that on, say, a monthly basis?
Oh, at minimum 10, and maximum I'd say about 15 to 20.
So you get anywhere from 10 to 20 different contacts from people every single month, and how many of those are you actually able to, you know, convert? I mean, just a percentage if you want. I mean, obviously you're doing a lot of transactions, but
right. You know, I'd say a solid 10%.
That's really good. That's good.
A solid 10%, and you know, frankly, the others. This is not a market where it's a short term, quick decision making. Most of these people are either relocating from the lower 48, someplace else. We do have people from all over the world that contact us. I'm as a direct result of one of the Zillow contacts. I'm doing business with somebody from Germany, and it's interesting language barrier wise, but it's working. and And so, in other words, I say 10%, that's what's really happening. But I think that what's really starting to happen is I'm filling that pipeline with people that in the year coming are going to, you know what, I was in dialogue with Ross, I enjoyed my exchange with Ross, we're now ready because of circumstance to move forward, I'm going to call him back. And I think I'm developing a good groundswell of people that will be coming back. I don't think it's wishful thinking. I believe that that's actually happening. I've only had a few occurrences of that already, but again, I've only been involved with Zillow for less than a year, and I've had remarkable results.
That's awesome. When I click this button, you don't know me from Adam, and I'm just saying, hey, I'm interested in this property. Can you walk me through a scenario? I mean, since you're saying that Zillow is one of your main staple, for lack of a better term, for bringing you contacts and transactions, walk me through a scenario. So I'm looking at this house. I'm going, it's 110. It's not your listing, but you're showing up. So I click on here. I say contact. I want to know a question on this. And so I type in my question. I click on contact agent. Walk me through that scenario. How do you handle that?
How do you get
me to be a client?
Well, the very first thing I do is thank somebody for contacting me, you know, and hey, I appreciate you you choosing me. Let me answer your questions, and let me share a little bit more about what else might be available, whether I listed it, the property or not. I can help you. I'm a full-service agent. I'm a local expert in our area, and I can certainly walk you through the process and ideally direct you to a property that I think will be ideal for you. And so, you know, the very first thing I like to do is let people know they pushed the right button. So I try to give them some positive remarks like that. And then the best thing I can do is listen. You know, I ask a few questions. You know, what are you looking for? Is this an ideal property? Does this fit your budget? Have you been pre-qualified with a lender? What stage are you in the process? I really want to understand who is it that I'm talking to on the other end of the phone, because my answers will change a little bit depending upon what they have to say.
Sure.
And, you know, so somebody that's not qualified and just dreaming about moving to Alaska, I'll say, well, that's terrific. Alaska welcomes you. We can't wait to see you here. There's some properties that I can send you. I can give you a response on the one that you've selected here. And if you're in the area, we can set up a time to sit down and discuss your needs further. You know, if they say that they're not qualified, then I'll say, you know, there are a number of lenders in our area that I can give you a list of those that are the most responsive to clients. Certainly, we want you to use your favorite lender. And it's ideal for us to move forward with a pre-qualification letter once we know that you're qualified for the dollar amount that you're looking at. Anytime we present an offer, it's going to be that much stronger. So we have a conversation about their needs, the best way to move forward, where they're at currently, and what's going to, quote, make it real for them to realize their dream of either moving or relocating or buying for the first time. So I just really try to engage the client. I don't try to rush them. I try to listen to some deluxe information that they would share. You know, gosh, my wife doesn't like the cold, but I really want to come up there and go fishing all the time, but I'm trying to convince her that it's not as bad as other parts of the country. And so I find myself in a conversation where, you know, you're right. It's not quite as harsh as you might think. We have cold snaps that will last maybe 1 to 3 weeks in winter, but outside of that, we don't get as much snow as places in the Northeast. We don't have some of the adversity that people in their minds conjure up. We're not eating whale blubber and wearing beaver hats and
Eskimos,
and,
right?
Yeah, we're not Eskimos, but there are Eskimos around here, and we have department stores and so forth. So I put them at ease and then give them reasons to share with whoever it might be, their spouses, of what living here is actually like. And so I just try to make people comfortable, answer their questions, listen to them, and ideally engage. You know, I don't connect with everyone, but I sure try.
Now, when I contact you and you determine where I'm at, for example, what you just walked me through. And I say, you know, I really want to think about this because I do love, you know, the country there, and I need to talk this over with my wife, and I'll get back to you. And then I don't. Do you put me into a database? Do you manage me? Do you CRM me? What do you do with me? Obviously, I'm not in the passenger seat of your car the first time I connect with you and I click on this contact agent button. How many times is there an average? How many times it takes? How you follow up, or a program you use to follow up?
Great question. I just use a great format where I feel that if by the fourth time that I communicate with somebody, if I don't have something going by then, I'll let them contact me and just go next. Usually I will, you know, either get some contact information where they say, gosh, Ross, next month we're really thinking about taking a trip up there. So during the month, I'm going to contact once a week and just say, hey, you know, this is what I've got going on. Want to make sure logistically you arrive well, you know, and I start trying to be part of that process. If in fact they're like, you know, we're still thinking about it, we're not sure, I say, no problem. I'll put them into a slower response. So basically, I want to talk to people a minimum of three times and usually about five, just to make sure that I'm not burning the lead that might, you know, produce fruit. I work for money. And so these leads that come in, they may not be ready at the moment. Just like you said, they think about it. What people are always telling me, and I guess one of the number one things to share with your audience listening today, is that when somebody follows up, and simply that, follows up, hey, you know, we spoke a few weeks back, hadn't heard back from you, just want to touch base, let you know that a new property came on the market, not sure if you found something or still looking, but, you know, we started that conversation, I was kind of excited about it, I thought it was a good fit, where are you at right now, is this still something that makes sense? You know, they're like, you called me back. You know, it wasn't just that one phone call. And so I get that a lot. You called me back, you responded, you followed up. And, you know, earlier we discussed prior to the call how important it is to be the first respond, be the first person to respond. You know, I got to tell you that that's one of the most important things that I've learned about this new age of providing real estate to interested parties is if you're not calling back or responding to that call as soon as possible, you're just a click away from, you know, well, that person, in their mind, they might even think they're not interested. It's a silly thing, but if no, I got a hold of somebody else. And I shared that story with you where I was on a call with another client. I missed a call that came in, it was like a no voicemail. I saw it was out of town. I looked at my my online email because I get automatic Zillow requests. So it was the same number. And next thing you know, it's like, okay, I'll call this person back. Couldn't have been 5 minutes. Oh no, I'm good. I'm gonna have, you know, that property shown by another agent. I'm thinking, gosh, it was only 5 minutes.
I know.
It's really business at the speed of light in today's I need it now, I deserve it now world. But
so what I'm hearing you say, Ross, to just kind of refine that for everybody, is number one, you have a system in place. You have a philosophy and a system in place that helps you get to that first, second, third, fourth phone call, that qualification process, the categorizing of the client, and a system that helps you do that, because obviously you're doing it with more than one person, and your response time is key. Are these reviews, do people read these reviews and actually mention anything about the reviews, and does that, you feel that gets you any business or helps your business at all there?
It does. In fact, the other agent who I respect, Chris Drusdo, he had taken a conscientious approach to not only social media but to how he worked with websites, and so it's a major part of his marketing to get every possible review. And frankly, I didn't give it the attention it deserved at first. I just, you know, like every other agent I know, it's like we're all busy. It's like, you know, it's one more thing to ask a client to do. I already asked for, you know, a testimonial and a photograph for my my in-town real estate guide, as well as occasionally I post people on Facebook with their permission. And so when I saw Chris had 27 reviews, and then I talked to him about it, he says, you know, I have an assistant that I make it a priority for her to make sure that we get these reviews. And I said, well, what's that return mean for you? And he goes, you know, it builds confidence with, before I even speak to the person the very first time. Yeah, and when I do, they've got a background. They almost feel like they know me as a result. And so, yes, I have seven reviews. I happen to know I'll have eight probably by tomorrow. But the fact is I'm just starting to really ask people to respond to that request for a review, and it's important. People develop trust from a review, and if you don't have reviews, it's like, well, are you really doing business, or did you just plug your name and put your money up, or are you, you know, are you legitimate? So I think that they're an integral part of why somebody would push one button over the other. And personality wise, you know, with respect to Chris, I'm 53 years old. He's younger than I am. And he attracts a different client and handles them in a different way. And I've had people that have started with him and come to me, and I'm sure that it's happened vice versa. But, you know, that's the beautiful thing about being who you are, you know.
Sure,
celebrate the personality and then let people know about it.
I don't know if you knew you could respond to these reviews.
I did not. I'm so excited to hear you say that, because I do have conversation that's somewhat passive after the sale, just to stay in touch, like all agents, you know, sending cards. But that is terrific. Thank you.
We talked about response time. We talked about, you know, systems in place. I got a couple of people asking questions. Doug's asking, does Ross have a team? Excellent question, Douglas. Thank you.
I have an assistant, and really just between my activity and working with the assistant, we handle all paperwork. She handles most of the paperwork, and I handle all the inquiries that come in. We work together on marketing, and frankly, I'm getting to the point where if it continues to grow, it'll be a buyer's agent that I'll want to bring in and start developing more of a team. So it's a great question. It's been on my mind, and I think it's a viable way to proceed, especially in our little town here.
Now, on your website, you've got, oh my gosh, you've got this great website. You've got a blog. You're on Zillow. You've got a nice Facebook page. How much time do you spend online with this stuff?
I'm embarrassed to say, not as much as I should, but probably a total of about 2 hours a week only at this time. And frankly, it's really got a lot to do with learning to find balance in making sure that I'm taking care of the customer. One of the things that I learned a long time ago was that, and this will probably not so sound so humble, but I learned that it was easy to get a yes from a client. And what I became more respectful of as I've aged and done stuff is, you know, getting yeses is just the first part. Yeses have to be satisfied. In other words, you know, when somebody says, yes, I'll work with you, then, boy, they go into that category of they're a client. I now have representation duties that I owe this person, and I don't want to just fill the pipeline full of yeses that are unsatisfied. It would be counterproductive. So, you know, commensurate with the growth of any listener's real estate business needs to be the you know, awareness that, gosh, as I bring in more transactions, what is my touch points with my customer base? Am I responsive in a timely manner? Am I engaging? Am I focused on the money, or am I focused on relationship building, which is the key to longevity in real estate? So,
sure.
You know, those are key points. But only a couple hours is the answer, and I think I'll be spending more as time goes on.
Be careful, because if you start spending more time on LinkedIn or Facebook and tweeting and doing stuff online, if you start seeing this drop and your numbers drop, then it's just because everybody else is doing it, and you might be thinking you need to spend more time.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, good feedback. Thank you. The fact is that all around me I see people spending insane amount of time online with, you know, whether it be Facebook or any of these other network that you talk about. And the reality is that, you know, I just am so busy already answering calls, following up, taking people out, meeting with folks, that, you know, when is that moment going to be? And it'd probably be, you know, really early in the morning prior to going into the office and doing things there. And then late at night after, you know, I really just want to wind down, I that's kind of where I see those opportunities. And, you know, there's sites out there that have tools. Recommendedly.com is one of them, where it talks about how to do social media better, and when to post, and what your score is, and so forth. And I kind of agree with you. Quality of life, at least for me, is a real key point. And I just don't want to be attached to the screen. As it is, I have an iPhone and an iPad, and I have got a laptop. And, you know, people know that real estate never sleeps. And, you know, all the agents that are listening know that, you know, that call comes in sometimes when you really don't want to receive that call, and you have to manage your business. And that's one thing that I kind of appreciate that I've done more and more, by setting expectations with my clients. They're respectful of my time, I'm respectful of theirs. And so factoring in this social media, I think I still could do more to get a return, but I would agree with you that balance is going to be the key.
You have to have that balance. I'm looking at your site here. We've got just a few minutes left, and I just want to say, I mean, it's so clean and simple, and it's very easy. I just want to point this out to folks. If you can see this and you're not listening to this podcast, I'm looking at Ross's website. He's got listings available, communities. This is right across the top. I mean, simple stuff a consumer would be looking for and needing regarding real estate. He's got a list for buyers, a pull-down menu for sellers, access to his blog, and then last he puts about him. Has all of his contact information at the top of the page. Real simple, real clean, great graphics. And I think that's to be commended, because a lot of sites I've seen, they're not simple. They're not easy to search. And, you know, people are looking for specifics when they land on your site. And typically they find you through, you know, Ross said, through Zillow. If that's working, great. If you're utilizing a website, don't let it be a time suck. Just make sure you're providing the same types of values. You had mentioned in the early on, what tips could you give listeners? If you were to say, you know, in order to get to the point where you're closing more than a deal a month, or you want your inventory to be where you have maybe four or five transactions always in the hopper, what are like the Ross Baxter secrets of real estate, tips that you can give that you don't have to worry, because none of the people on the call are in Alaska, so there's no competitors. Yeah, hey, we lost him. We're having a connection problem.
But I'm happy to share. Yeah.
Yeah, please do.
You know, the very first thing that comes to my mind is be sincere, be responsive, be responsive, absolutely follow up. In terms of adding to the mush between your ears, I find it absolutely of tremendous value to participate in the educational process within our industry. like law or medicine, real estate has many different avenues you can pursue and specialize in, and layers of knowledge about how to interact with the customer base that you're interested in working with. And I would just really encourage everyone that's listening to go to a state convention, to participate on a local level in their association, to that kind of brings up another thing. I interact with our community. I've raised money for kids to go to special cancer treatment camps all over the U.S. And also for hospice. Anything cancer related, anything hospice related are the two charities that I selected. But I'd say select something that you feel good about, getting involved with. And so, I've raised $120,000 since 2005 with some other folks here in our little town for those two charities. And so getting involved in the community is really key, no matter where you live, no matter who you are. Get involved with something that's of interest, something that you can believe in. Don't spread yourself thin. Be focused. Outside of that, I'd say set goals. One of the best things that I could possibly have done earlier on was gone to the marketing and business planning course that's CRS 200 that frankly realigned how I looked at my business. And I'm not a young chicken anymore. I should have known this from the get-go. It was just something that, business plan, mission statement, how much do I really need that? I had a vague outline. But now, that business plan is my roadmap to, I can evaluate my business compared to what I set my goals were. I know how many listings I need each month. I know how many closings I need to reach my financial goals. And it's a business. So I would say that if you're dabbling in real estate, there's somebody that will end up, eating your lunch and you'll lose market share. If you're serious about the independence and freedom that you have being an agent with that self-discipline, apply it towards a business path that makes sense for you and pursue it. And earlier, I got lucky by participating in Destination Americas, the original channel under the Discovery Channel. Now it's on Discovery itself, and it's a show called Buying Alaska. And so because of some interaction and exposure in the community and some referrals, 30 agents were interviewed, and I was one of them that was selected. And it was really a fun experience. I'm getting calls from that too. But that only happened because I was committed to being a realtor. I was committed to all those aspects. So I would just encourage people to, get out there and don't be embarrassed or afraid. Start shaking hands. You're kind of a politician in some respects. It doesn't have to be wild, but don't be shy. Let people know who you are, what you do, and be proud of, hey, I could help you with your real estate needs. I'm right here.
So, I love it, because yesterday I was showing on the screen. That's exactly what our webinar was about, was mapping out your goals and a business plan, all based on financial goals. When you start getting on national television, now you're opening up even more opportunity. But what was that like? I mean, can you tell us kind of how that whole thing?
Oh yeah,
what was like?
It was at first, are you kidding? and then it was, hey, this will be fun. And the story is that you're contacted by basically a network intermediary, a production executive, and so there's a lot of fact finding that goes on. The segment was filmed in the summer, and so I had, I think one of the reasons that I was selected is I was proactive versus reactive. When they called, I knew that they were calling agents that had something going on, and so I had anticipated the call, and I had written what I thought was an outline for three segments of the show. And the first one I called Walkout Fishing, the second one I called Fly-In Living, and then Remote Access. And So what happens when they called, they showed me what places they wanted to go to, and I said, I don't think those are good choices. And here, let me email you what I think would work better and why. Well, before you know it, I was involved in that, and so that exchange ended up getting me that opportunity. And then from there, the experience was I had three homes that were selected that were on the Kenai River that were somewhere in the $600 to $1 million range that were absolutely Alaska beautiful log homes, gorgeous. And we were going to pull up in a boat with our buyers, and it would have been just magical for everybody to see some of the neat things about Alaskan art and things that people put in their homes and really nice log homes on the river. And I just thought that was terrific. Well, literally 2 days before the actual shooting took place, and this is after getting location releases and appearance releases and logo releases, if there were a sign out in front, in front of the home, the network exec said, what we're really interested in is no running water, no electricity, an outhouse would be good. And frankly, Ross, could you just shift gears? If not, we'll just think about doing something else. And I thought, really? And next thing you know, I happen to know of a couple of cabins on what's called Dow Island, and a third location on the other side of the river, and I was able to put that together in a day. And then this five cameramen follow you around. Your every word you say is recorded, and there are no retakes. That's what surprised me. No script, no retakes. And it was kind of like, at first I was very excited because, gosh, this is so neat. And then I realized, oh my God, everything I say and do is going to be filmed. And for those listening, one of my humble moments is my episode was called Salmon Capital. It was the quote premiere episode they launched the Buying Alaska series with, which was pretty flattering. But I showed this one dwelling called Skycatcher Cabin, and one of the things is that there's a stove that you hang on the wall. It attaches to propane, and I put it on top of the counter. And the comment that I thought they would edit out was, you just put this on the counter and you put any type of aluminum foil at all underneath. I just thought, what a dumb thing to say. When I saw the show, I thought, any type of aluminum foil, any type at all. So, kind
So,
of
is there
a
somewhere I can pull up? Like I'm browsing all over the
well,
Discovery.
there's first of all, on Discovery Channel, they rerun the Buying Alaska series, so anybody that's interested should be able to see that episode called Salmon Capital. And then on YouTube, there were clips. If you typed in Skycatcher Cabin, you'd see yours truly in part of the episode.
It's
So,
called what, Sky? Is that one word?
Skycatcher Cabin. Skycatcher being one word.
Okay, I was putting two
But
sky.
it was fun, and actually this week, it's only Tuesday. Yesterday, I was contacted by one of the producers for a winter episode, and so that's kind of neat because apparently once it went from Destination America to the mainstream Discovery Channel, now the exposure is to 58.5 million people that are watching, and I have received about a dozen contacts. Pretty widespread interest from the program. Some people are survivalists that think that I'm going to find a remote location with pure water and great wind
And an
for,
outhouse.
and others, just want to get more information. But it's been a good experience, and overall, I'll be curious to know what they want me to do or are looking for the winter episodes. I'm thinking I'll take people by snow machine or four-wheeler to remote cabins or snowshoe in, which I've done with clients before here in Alaska. Sometimes that's what happens.
I've only got a couple minutes left. Is there anything that you'd like to share? If you had the world's attention right now, what would you say to the real estate industry world? Anything.
I'd say how lucky we all are to be in an industry that actually causes real change in communities. We have a real opportunity and a real impact on every relationship that you can imagine in each of our communities. And please don't take that lightly. When I do business with a client and I have, you know, a commercial listing that's under contract right now, and I have small first-time home buyer dollar amounts under contract right now, each are equally important. Each impact the community. When I was living in larger cities, I didn't have the sense of community that I do now. And I regret not taking more of an interest in the community when I lived in large cities, San Francisco, Seattle, Atlanta. And so my encouragement for anybody listening is to, you know, follow your dreams, realize that you're the biggest competition to yourself. Nobody else is in your way except you, and that the world truly still is your oyster, and you can make a very positive impact on not only your community, but your family, people that you haven't met. I love Dennis Whately, motivational speaker, comment. He once said, plant a shade tree you'll never sit under. And so when I moved to Alaska, I thought about that, and I was rebuilding. I only knew my family, and I didn't really know what would I do. I had, you know, some money, but not a lot. I needed to buy a house and or build a house. And what I did is I realized that the community could benefit from a disc golf course, something I played I wasn't passionate about, but I thought it was cool, like frisbee golf. And so I rallied the city council, and then I got the land donated, and then I rallied businesses in the area that I had never met, and got each of them to donate $500 for a basket. And before you know it, I had 18 baskets and the land, and then I grabbed some people and I installed the course and designed the course. And at first it took off slow, but now it is the major, one of the major fundraisers that go on in our area is the disc golf tournament that's been done for hospice and for kids with cancer. So, you know, I can just tell you that as soon as you make a commitment to yourself and your community, magical things will happen. So I guess that's my rant, is that everybody listening is important and can make a difference. And we all have a responsibility not to put a really ugly business next to a really nice business. And it's not steering. It's just, you know, what would most make sense for that client. So when I say ugly business, it's like kind businesses, and I won't get into that right now. So
sure.
Please give me a call, and I'll answer questions, share stories, whatever it is the interest is, time permitting, and I welcome feedback. It's exciting to be part of a something larger than yourself, and that's what this reminds me of. So thanks for the opportunity.
Awesome.
I welcome any phone calls from your listeners.
Well, we thank you for taking time to be with us today. Ross, you're a beautiful man. Don't ever change, and thanks for doing this.